Good morning from WVIK News. The day after President Trump's State of the Union address, Bettendorf Mayor Bob Gallagher took an hour less to deliver his 45-minute State of the City yesterday, Wednesday, February 25th, at Waterfront Convention Center. Jonathan Turner has more.
In his detailed presentation, the mayor discussed Bettendorf's progress in the past year, plans for this year, as well as how to meet challenges of rising costs. One big 2025 bright spot was after 3 years of work, the Landing, new water park and ice rink, fully opened last May and has been very popular, Gallagher said. For that project, the city got creative in financing the $24 million construction. Gallagher explained how the city meets its goals for growth and development.
We go through a purposeful strategic planning session each and every year with a consultant who comes in for 3 days. The reason I think we see such success in Bettendorf, and this predates my time, is we have a consultant help us create long-term goals, snippets of how we can get there each year, and we work that plan.
For WVIK News, this is Jonathan Turner.
The city of Rock Island is one step closer to establishing a tax increment financing district to support its plan to revitalize the city's western corridors along the Mississippi and Rock Rivers. At the city council meeting this week, the council unanimously approved the first reading for the proposed North Rock Island Port District TIF. During the meeting, Community Director Miles Brainerd informed council members of an additional ordinance that would add parcels from another TIF.
At the north end of the North 11th Street TIF district, there are a collection of parcels representing maybe six, I think, blocks worth that will be removed from the North 11th Street TIF in order that they be added to the new Port District TIF.
According to city documents, part of the move is because the location is an alternative location for the possible construction of a new U.S. 67 highway bridge, and the parcels in the TIF would allow the city to use that funding for any needed infrastructure improvements. The second reading of the ordinance will come back in March. Cases of highly pathogenic avian influenza have been detected in multi-species backyard flocks in two southeast Iowa counties. According to the state's Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, around 130 birds tested positive for the virus. Approximately 85 in Keokuk and 45 in Van Buren counties. The department says poultry producers should contact their veterinarian immediately if they suspect the H5N1 virus. Signs include a sudden loss of appetite, swollen heads, and difficulty breathing. These cases mark the state's third and fourth detection of H5N1 in 2026. The city of Coralville has ended its contract for automated license plate readers. Iowa Public Radio's James Kelly reports it comes after months of residents asking them to remove the cameras.
In a 3-1 vote, the Coralville City Council members decided to both terminate the city's contract and rescind its policy regarding the readers. Last year, council members signed a 2-year, $36,000 contract with Flock Safety, who operates the cameras. Dan Woolers is a Coralville resident who spoke during a public comment period.
By choosing to move away from the Flock system tonight, you are showing that you've truly heard us. Throughout this process, we've discussed the complexities of this technology, the concerns over data privacy, the importance of strict policy guardrails, and the need for local control over our residents' information.
City Administrator Kelly Hayworth says Flock will remove the cameras within days, but did not provide a specific number. I'm James Kelly, IPR News.
A newly proposed Illinois law would prevent state utilities from shifting non-operating costs onto ratepayers, Sam Nofsko reports.
The nonpartisan, nonprofit consumer watchdog Citizens Utility Board says the act could save Illinoisans $40 million in annual utility costs. The legislation introduced earlier this month would prohibit utilities from billing consumers for political cost, liability insurance, goodwill advertising, and rate negotiation expenses. State Representative Teresa Ma is one of the bill's sponsors. She says the bill is needed because of the state's affordability crisis.
And the last thing that any of my constituents need is to pay higher utility bills for expenses that simply advance the agendas of Illinois utilities.
The law is supported by AARP Illinois and 350 Chicago, a climate change advocacy group. I'm Sam Nofsker.
The Bi-State Regional Commission is seeking public input for its Quad Cities Thrive 2055 long-range transportation plan, including a public hearing this afternoon. According to a press release, these plans are established every 5 years to examine the needs of regional economic and population changes. Today's hearing takes place at the Rust Belt on 12th Avenue in East Moline from 2 to 4 p.m. Online input is open to the public through the end of the month. The Bi-State Regional Commission will consider adoption on Wednesday, March 25th during its public meeting.